Good morning. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning, whether in person or those that are tuning in online. What a joy it is to gather, to sing the praises of God, to study His Word, to fellowship one with another. So I'm thrilled that you're with us today. This morning, we are going to conclude our sermon series called Advance. This has been a great way to start off the new year. A real encouragement to keep pushing forward with God's mission, to keep going, to keep advancing, to stay laser focused on our vision of sharing Jesus. You know, I would say to you, if you want to grow spiritually this year, and many of us at the onset of a new year have some goals, and I hope you have spiritual goals as well, but if you want to grow spiritually this year, I want you to know that the single thing that is the sort of greatest of infusing life and energy and vitality into the church is when God uses you to bring someone else into the kingdom. When you tell your story and people are moved to faith. When you encourage someone who's down. When you lead your kids to Christ. When you pray with and for people who really don't know where else to turn. So our call from Jesus, of course, is to go and make disciples. We know this from Matthew chapter 28. We've studied there the last 2 weeks. I'll give us a brief recap. 2 weeks ago, the first week of our study, we talked about the power of storytelling. We used one definition of evangelism, which is bragging to others about God. Last week, we talked about the power of influence. And we learned that Jesus is with us always through His Holy Spirit. That He gives us that dynamite power to witness, to influence others, and to serve one another. So we are called to advance the gospel. And we do that by living boldly for Christ and proclaiming Him to the world. But sometimes, just sometimes, we need an attitude check. You know, really, as we think about fruitfulness and advancing the gospel, it is way less about competence and way more about attitude. So that's just what we're going to talk about together this morning. So let me introduce myself. I'm John. As I said, I'm thrilled that you're with us today. And I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. That's really where we're going to spend our time together this morning as we do a spiritual attitude check. This is the passage that Alicia read for us just a few moments ago, and I'm using the NIV. So we're in Philippians chapter 1. I want to begin by keying in on verse 12, where Paul says, "What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Now, what he's referring to, of course, is being in chains for the gospel, although his story includes much more, doesn't it? He was not only imprisoned, but he faced many trials. He'd been whipped with the 39 lashes. That's supposedly one short of death. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was pelted with stones. He was constantly on the move and in danger. He had gone without sleep. He'd gone without food. He was hungry. He was cold, and now he's thrown in jail. And he uses his time in chains to write words of encouragement to fellow believers. We are blessed to be recipients of his encouragement. And he says, joyfully, he says, all of this has advanced the gospel. Okay, that's all I need to know, friends. Like, that's all I need to know to confess I need an attitude check. Now, I don't know about you, but that's all I need to hear is this guy who had faced so many struggles, who had faced so much persecution, who's now imprisoned, and by the way, he'd done nothing wrong. He'd broken no laws. And he says that all of this is wonderful because it's advancing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I need a spiritual attitude check. You know, for some of us, it's a Christmas card that took 2 weeks in the mail. Huh. I've already told you about the ice maker in my home. It doesn't have a crushed setting, and I really like the crushed setting, and so I complain about that. I need a spiritual attitude check, and maybe you do too. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together. I have three questions for us. These questions are designed to be that sort of spiritual attitude check. The first question is this: do I tend to grumble and complain? Do I tend to grumble and complain? Now, maybe you need to ask your spouse to answer this for you. Maybe you need to ask your parents or your close relatives to answer this for you, because they'll give an honest answer. Sometimes we don't always have that sort of self-awareness. But the question is, do I tend to grumble and complain? Do I see the negative? Do I always and constantly just bemoan? Oh, how terrible. Oh, how awful. Oh, how idiotic. Did Paul have reasons to complain? I think he probably had some reasons to complain, didn't he? Like he'd broken no laws. He worked tirelessly to help people, and this was his reward? He's in chains now? But here's the truth. Paul may have been in chains, but the gospel was not. And he rejoiced because his circumstance was advancing God's mission. So if God can use someone in a jail cell, then most certainly he can use you and I. But it's not going to happen unless we have a change in perspective. Like the farmer who decided to sell his farm. There were just way too many things wrong. It was like too much needed fixed or repaired or replaced or updated. Everywhere he looked, he saw something wrong. So he got in touch with a realtor who came and looked things over and developed the ad to sell his farm. He wanted to run it by the farmer before it went public, and so he read it to him. He said, the ad speaks of the good location and the sturdy house and the spacious barns and the lush pasture. And of course, that beautiful little pond and the fertile soil and this magnificent view. After listening carefully, the farmer says, whoa, 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 don't run that ad. I've always wanted a place like that. He had a change in perspective. We need a change in perspective. Have you guys ever seen this picture of Adele? She's a pop singer. This was a viral sensation not long ago. It's a picture of her upside down, and from this perspective looks, well, really quite totally normal until you flip it upside down. So this is the same picture flipped upside down. Whoa. Or this guy, he's leaning on a wall. Or is he? Whoa. Oh, it's a wall all right, but he's not even upright. Now, here's the thing. The man's posture and position didn't change at all. What changed was your perspective. It was the picture rotating 90 degrees. Or one last picture. Look at this. It is half a face looking at you, right? It's half a face looking directly at you, right? Or is it his profile looking to the side? Your perspective, as you see it then, your perspective sort of wanes back and forth, as you're trying to figure out, what am I looking at right now? Here's my point. Let's not miss the good things that are right in front of us. Let's not miss those opportunities to thank God and to proclaim the gospel and the good news, to encourage others. And so let's ask God to change our perspective. So, like Paul, that we would rejoice no matter what the circumstances, and we would allow God to use us to advance the gospel. All circumstances, my friends, are an opportunity to advance the gospel. All circumstances are an opportunity to advance the gospel. God has placed you in your workplace because he wants to use you there. God has set you in your family because he wants to reach people with the truth of Jesus. That ailment, that relationship, that motorist or patron or neighbor is a God-ordained opportunity. Now, I'm not glossing over the fact that sometimes our circumstances are very difficult and they're hard. I'm not glossing over that. But praise God that our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Praise God that we rejoice no matter what our circumstances. Okay, back to the Apostle Paul. We're in Philippians chapter 1. We talked about verse 12. Let's go to verse 13. He's under guard by these Roman soldiers. And here's what he says. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. The palace guard that he refers to here. It is 10,000 hand-picked soldiers. They were first commissioned by Caesar Augustus. So these are in the Roman military. And they are strategically dispersed around the empire to keep the peace, to protect the emperor. And instead of seeing these guys as an inconvenience, as an invasion, Paul looks at them as his mission field. In fact, he used them as quite literally a captive audience, because from what we understand of his imprisonment, he would have literally been chained to or nearby at least one of these guards at all times. So year after year, one soldier after the other was chained to Paul, giving him the chance to share the gospel. And then those soldiers, of course, they take that message back to their barracks and back to their commanding officers and back to their homes and back to their friends, and they repeat it to their comrades. And in the end, here's what Paul says there in verse 13. The whole palace guard knew about Christ. The whole palace guard, 10,000 soldiers, plus their families, their circles of influence. Paul trusted God even when his circumstances were less than ideal. What a perspective. Of course, he says in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So friends, what that means is if we love God, if we're called by him for his purpose, God is going to weave together everything in our stories for our good and for his glory. Being in chains for multiple years, it wasn't a horrible loss of Paul's time or even his freedom, because God was bigger than those circumstances. God worked the negatives into good. And Paul stepped into the opportunity. He took the opportunity to share the life-giving power of Jesus. Do you know he wrote multiple books of the Bible while in prison? While he's in these circumstances, he writes the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon. See, when God changes your perspective, you begin to see beyond your circumstances. You see beyond those things that are antagonizing you and annoying you. Those things that, and maybe in answer to question number one, the answer is yes. Those are things that I tend to grumble and complain about. So often we just see the obvious. We just see what's immediate in front of us. But the Bible assures us there's more going on than what meets the eye. I love the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 about Elisha and the Assyrian army. This is the one where they're surrounded by their enemies, and Elisha's servant sees them and begins to panic. And Elisha says to him, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then God opens the eyes of the servant. He has a change of perspective. He sees the army of God. He sees horses and chariots of fire. And of course, God's army was much bigger than the Assyrian army. It was just the servant didn't initially see it. Hey, I do want to invite you back next week, by the way. So this morning we're concluding our sermon series, but next week I am so excited to be starting a brand new sermon series, and we are going to be doing stories of Elijah and Elisha. We're going to hear these amazing stories from these two guys in the Old Testament, these sort of power prophets. Their stories are written in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And we're just going to be encouraged as we hear these stories. Our God is mighty. Our God is able. So please, make plans to join us again next week. We'll spend 6 weeks hearing six of their different tales. And one of them will be that one where we'll look at Elisha and the Assyrian army. But if only we could see with God's perspective, the servant never would have panicked. If he had known, if he had seen the armies of the living God and how they outnumbered the puny Assyrian army. So let me just ask this. What if you could see your challenges from God's perspective? What if you could see those things that are obstacles and struggles in your life, but from the vantage point of God? Our God who is working constantly behind the scenes. Our God who is orchestrating and ordaining the things that happen in your life. Like you might think things are falling apart, when in reality, things are falling right into place. God is building something. God is using those circumstances for your good, for his glory. Okay, so we're doing a spiritual attitude check today. We've talked about, do I tend to grumble and complain? Here's the second question. Am I afraid to talk about Jesus? Is it like I just clam up? I just avoid talking about the Lord. Like, does the thought of mentioning the name of Jesus make you squirm? Because we need boldness. And no, I'm not talking about obnoxiousness. There's a difference. Sometimes we confuse the two. Don't be insensitive and say that you're bold. Don't be rude or uncaring or even mean-spirited and just say, well, that's my boldness. What I'm talking about is being confident in who God is. And being willing to brag about him to others. See, when Paul shared the goodness of the gospel, even despite his circumstances, what happened was it emboldened other followers of Christ. So we're in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 14. He says, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have now become confident in the Lord. Again, boldness. Not obnoxiousness or being rude or mean-spirited. Confidence in the Lord. And then he says, and they dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What a great challenge for each and every one of us, young and old, new in the faith or following Christ for decades, ordained pastoral ministry or layperson. That we would proclaim the gospel without fear. That's a challenge for us today. Proclaim the gospel without fear. I do really like the way the New Living Translation words verse 14. It says, the believers have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. And again, the boldness that we have, it comes from the Holy Spirit that's within us. It's not like you can just go to the store and pick up some bold spice deodorant. Or can you?
Excuse me, your shoe's untied.
Quit picking on me!
Oh! No more Mr. Milk Toast! Now you're Mr. Tiger Toast! Roar!
are you?
Pick me up at 8!
Hold! Uh-oh! Julie has a boyfriend! And he wears Pulse Buzz too! Oh! You done got out!
And Jesus loves you.
Go from dud to stud with Bold Spice body spray. You can do anything.
get saved. Oh, and Jesus loves you. You know, I would say this. Boldness, I think, is both misunderstood and lacking in the church today. So it's both misunderstood and lacking. And I think there's one main reason. Fear. We're afraid. We run through these scenarios of what might happen, what could happen. We become more aware of the possible repercussions when we are, you know, talking about Jesus or even praying in public or carrying our Bible or praising God through the trials or inviting someone to a worship service. We're more aware of the possible repercussions than we are the kingdom impact of doing those things. Here's what Paul says in Romans 1. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. That's the impact. So we don't fear, my friends. Because again, remember, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Okay, so we're doing a spiritual attitude check this morning. We're going to ask three questions. The first was, do I tend to grumble and complain? The second was, am I afraid to talk about Jesus? Here's our third and final question for our spiritual attitude check this morning. And it's this. Do I criticize others? Do I criticize others? You know, especially for those of us who are heavily involved in the local church. That's been the world I've lived in most of my life. Is heavily involved in the local church, you know. Do you agonize about those churchy things? Those particulars of how and when and where and who and why. The methods that are used. The dress code. Man, I was part of a team one time, and we decided that we were just going to change the order of service. And it was pretty drastic. We're going to change things around from how we're used to doing them on a Sunday morning in a worship service. And so we designed this Sunday morning experience and we had shifted things around. Now we had our reasons for why we wanted to do this, but then the Sunday morning plays out. Some of you are smiling and like on the verge of laughing as I speak. How do you think that went over? Now just how do you think people responded to coming into the sanctuary and having a worship service that wasn't in the order that they were accustomed to? You would have thought that we tried to introduce a fourth member of the Trinity. People were so upset. I go, man, we gathered with our church family to sing the praises of our great God and to study His Word and to pray. And all they could do was grumble and complain and cut us down. Why? Because the order was not what they were accustomed to. I've never heard of anything so churchy in my whole life. And I think it was at that moment that something happened inside me where I said, I'm done playing church. I'm just done playing church. Like, if you're more concerned about the order of service than you are about souls being saved, I mean, you got a problem. You're criticizing people who are doing good and fruitful ministry because it's not your preference, because it's not what's within your comfort zone, because it was something that was done a little differently. And I'll tell you what that betrays, that whole thing, what it betrays is wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. We all need to have our priorities realigned. Because listen, we should celebrate when God's kingdom advances. We should celebrate when the gospel is proclaimed. We say we're committed to advancing the gospel, but then we nitpick and we criticize. when that person or that group or that church or that ministry, they're not doing things the way we think they should. They're not doing things the way we do things. If you are constantly pointing fingers and criticizing others, and it's silly stuff, your priority isn't the kingdom of God. Your priority isn't to advance the gospel. So here's what Paul says. We're in Philippians chapter 1, and he says that there are people, and they're preaching the gospel for the wrong reasons. So verse 15, he says, it's true. Some people preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. He says, others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm here for the defense of the gospel. But the former, they preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. And then here's his attitude, verse 18. But what does it matter? What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And he says, and because of this, I rejoice. He rejoices and he celebrates. Why? Because his priorities are in line. The priority is Christ being preached, kingdom advancing, lives impacted with the good news. So let me just say, let's stop with the critical attitudes, with the negativity and attacking others. I think so often the root of all of that is really pride. Where I go, well, I think I know how to do it best. Well, I think I know the right way. I think I know how it should be done. You know, our Christian culture so often divides. We separate and we segregate and we split off. And we go a different way over silly stuff, over trivial stuff. It's like one group thinks that, well, we've just got the corner on the spiritual market. We've got it figured out. They don't know what they're doing, and those people don't know what they're doing, but we've got it all figured out. And then what happens is different approaches to ministry become issues of right and wrong, rather than what they should be and what they truly are, which is different ways of reaching people with Jesus. It's not an issue of right and wrong. It's an issue of you do it that way and we'll do it this way. And we're going to celebrate when we see the kingdom advancing. Paul says, like clearly here, like some folks are preaching Christ for some really goofy reasons. He acknowledges that. He even recognizes some of them are trying to hurt me by their preaching. But he says, again, go back to verse 18. What does it matter? He's not going to grumble and complain about that. He's not going to criticize them and attack them for that, because he says clearly the important thing is that Christ is preached. And because of that, he rejoices. So we celebrate when God's kingdom advances. That's why we support and love other local churches in our community. We're on the same team. We're not in competition with them. They're not the enemy. We love them. We're for them. We want to foster healthy relationships with them and encourage them, because we're on the same team and we rejoice when we see God's kingdom advancing. So when the gospel was preached by anyone, with good, pure motives or with wrong motives, Paul rejoices. He wasn't soured by those that were preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. He had a gracious spirit. He focused on the bright side. What does it matter? Christ is being preached. He's like, the people were spreading the good news that though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there is still hope. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we could be made right with God if only we put our trust in him. That by the power of God, Jesus was raised to life on the third day. That one day, one great and glorious day, he will return He will call the righteous to himself. All who have called on his name will be welcomed into God's forever kingdom, where there will be no more grumbling or complaining or criticizing, no more hurting or suffering or heartache or pain. So here's what Paul says. I have no problem with the fact that people are hearing the truth of Jesus. I have no problem with the fact that people are being saved from the flames of hell. Because the time's going to come when it's too late. And so I'm not going to argue about their motives. I'm not going to bicker about their ministry methods. I'm not going to criticize. No. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to celebrate. For God's kingdom is advancing. And that is what's important. So if you're like me this morning, you would confess, sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. And so thank you, Lord, for your scripture. Because that's what I need. Of course, the next chapter, Philippians 2, tells us what our attitude should be. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So let's check our priorities. You know, the way you share Christ might be different from the way I do. And the person next to you, they may not care for the illustration that you use. They have their own particular way or preference. Is that going to cause us to stop? No. Is that going to cause us to clam up? Absolutely not. We will press on tirelessly to make Christ known. So friends, let's be grateful. Let's embrace whatever situation we're in with gratitude. Praise God for placing you right where you are. Ask him to use you. And don't be afraid to talk about Jesus. Be bold. Use your voice. Use your testimony. Share your stories to creatively proclaim Christ. And instead of criticizing, why don't you reach out and offer a word of encouragement to other believers? And in all of this, may we discover the joy of sharing Jesus. So I pray that God would change our perspective, that we would celebrate each and every time we see the kingdom advance. Let's pray together this morning. Oh Lord, our God, we humble ourselves before you this morning. In moments like these where your word, your spirit lays open our hearts, lays our souls and spirits bare before you to challenge us. And to call us to something greater and to give us that spiritual attitude check. So Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you put within us a love for and a longing for your kingdom? That we'd stop with the silliness and the critical attitudes and rejoice when the gospel advances. That we would open and avail ourselves to you to be used. And where we don't have the words to say, Holy Spirit, give us the words. That we would proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of salvation. So we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, for who you call us to be. And we pray that in a mighty work, according to your will, you would empower us and equip us to advance your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.